head spinning. You know, the news feels like every 2 seconds there's something else. This guy's in, this guy's out, that team's down, that team can't play, the schedule's changed. It's 2020.
Well, we're seeing a lot of NFL players opt out here with a couple of days left to go in their deadline, including some pretty prominent names. I guess we'll start with the Marlins. What are you hearing? I don't even know. What are your thoughts on the Marlins? I guess I'll just start broadly.
And real quick, I just got news just dropped into my box that Joe Kelly and Dave Roberts have been suspended by Major League Baseball for that incident in Houston last night.
Wow, we'll get to that in a minute then.
So here's the thing. I think generally speaking, and I've talked to you guys about this the last couple weeks, that people around baseball have confidence about what's going on with the protocol and the health and safety, and they feel like the players are taking it seriously. There's a lot of conversation around baseball that the Marlins didn't do that. And I think that, you know, I remember when we started on the summer camp, I had a baseball executive say to me that, yeah, we feel like we're doing it, but remember, we're only as strong as our weakest link. And in this case, you know, the fact that the Marlins are a young team with a lot of guys who don't have experience, it not necessarily a team loaded with veteran guys, it probably isn't a surprise that they're one of the teams that at this point looks like an outlier. Joe Kelly got 8 games.
Wow.
Yeah. In his suspension. Dave Roberts got 1 game.
Did you think, by the way, first off, did you think it was intentional? I thought he threw at Bregman. I didn't think the Correa thing was intentional because that was a slider.
I thought they were both intentional.
Wow.
I think that he was spraying the ball around for, you know, the first couple of batters, and he was struggling, as he always does, with fastball command. And it's almost like when he got to 3-0 that the light switch went off.
Yes.
And he's like, you know what, I'm just going to throw it. And I know a lot of times people go, well, it was a breaking ball. He didn't throw it on purpose. I'm not buying that. I don't think Carlos Correa was either on the one that got near him. Very interesting, though, that, you know, at the field level with the umpires, you know, Joe Kelly wasn't thrown out. There wasn't any warning given right after the thing happened with Bregman. And Major League Baseball coming down with a hammer.
Yep.
Dave Roberts told reporters this afternoon that, you know, in his conversation with Major League Baseball, they were really unhappy with how this was handled. Also, Dusty Baker got a fine, the manager of the Astros.
Buster, how many of those 8 games is because he threw at Astros?
I thought this was ridiculous in the wintertime, but when Rob Manfred made it clear that, you know, that they weren't going to foster a free and open season on the Astros, I know I heard from people of the other teams saying that they just didn't think that was fair, that there would be special dispensation made for the Astros in a way that you don't see with other teams. Because once that's out there, look, we're going to come down hard and anybody who throws at the Astros. Theoretically changes the competitive dynamic with the Astros hitters in the box. As they move forward, they feel like, you know, the commissioner's got our back here. The commissioner's office is going to protect us. I can't remember a situation in which we've seen that. And I, you know, I can understand why people of other teams are probably going to be unhappy about this.
Buster, I know you're against throwing at people in general. You've called a baseball a weapon. You don't like that. But was this even Joe Kelly's score to settle? He wasn't even on that Dodgers team, and he got a ring the year later.
No, it wasn't. And you're right. And the Red Sox, another team that was technically found to have cheated, he was actually on their team in 2018 when they beat the Dodgers. And now he's on the Dodgers and he's settling scores for them. It was very interesting how that played out last night. You know, I was saying on some, I did some TV today that I think when we get these beanball situations, it really just does comes down to the personality of the guy on the mound holding the ball. I've told you guys stories in the past about how when I covered Andy Pettitte, he couldn't stand the retaliation stuff. Like, he wanted nothing to do with it, to the point that at times he annoyed his teammates. And on the other hand, we've seen with Joe Kelly, he's on the opposite end of the spectrum. He's got no problem with it. I also think he really doesn't mind if folks in the other dugout think he's a little crazy. And, you know, he's a well-liked teammate among, the guys that he plays with. And as I say, I just kind of wonder if once he went to 3-0, that his feeling was, well, I'm probably going to walk him anyway, so I might as well make the best of this. And the Dodger players had made it clear during the wintertime after the Astros scandal had broke that they were upset with it. I think it was Ross Stripling who basically indicated that, yeah, I would vote yes in terms of retaliation coming down the road.
Boy, message sent loud and clear. It doesn't surprise me, though, I got to say. Back to the Marlins situation. I mean, if you have teams playing 8 or 9 or 10 less games in a 60-game season, are we just assuming you're going to have to go percentage-wise, winning percentage for playoff seedings?
Yeah, 100%. I did SportsCenter last night, and Kevin Negandhi, who was the host, asked me, you know, what about fair and balanced schedule? And I'm like, forget it.
Yeah.
That's like an op. That is something that's just not going to be in play this year. You know, it starts with the 60-game schedule and the fact that these teams are playing, you know, different groups of teams. The schedule, if you're one of the American League or National League Central teams, is different, less difficult, in theory, than if you're an American League East or National League East schedule. And so, you know, I do think you're probably at the end of the year, as we did in 1981, going to wind up a lot of teams having played a different number of games. You know, I heard Matt Klentak, the general manager of the Phillies, said today, basically say, that's where we are right now. You know, the priority absolutely should be, and it feels like it is, in the Marlins' case, to clean it up and, you know, to deal with that. And I think that's become the priority. The interesting thing for me is in the last 48 hours, it really does feel like that the players are beginning to flex their muscles a little bit and understanding how much leverage they actually have in this situation. You know, I think a lot of questions around baseball about why in the world did Major League Baseball allow the Phillies and the Marlins to play on Sunday, given that the Marlins had already had 4 players test positive on their way to, what, the numbers up to 18. And so it was interesting how the next day the Washington Nationals players were taking a vote and saying, we're not going to go to Miami. We don't want to do that. This weekend, you had, you know, the Chicago Cubs, Cincinnati Reds talking to each other about how do you feel about playing today. The bottom line is, if we get into a situation where a team group of players doesn't want to play, Rob Manfred can't make them play. Like, he can't, he's not going to do it. And the idea that, especially in this crazy season, that he would, you know, his ultimate hammer in most years would be, well, then you'll have to forfeit. In this year, it's not going to carry the same weight. And it also, Rob, would certainly get a lot of criticism for forcing a team on the field when the players weren't comfortable.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. So the results look good so far for the Phillies as far as all the tests have come up negative, but are people around baseball still worried because of the incubation period of the virus?
Not in regards to the Phillies. You know, there's a general feeling that stuff that happens outside in non-crowded situations, even though, you know, the players were within proximity of each other, I think there's more comfort level once the players are outside, and that seems to be where most of the contact was between the Marlins and the Phillies. As I say, it's been interesting because at the beginning of this, there was so much fear, and with some teams like the Nationals, Dave Martinez using the word scared earlier in the week, there's fear, but the attitude around baseball is, to put it bluntly, that the Marlins screwed up. And the Marlins right now are the outlier, and that most teams, you know, their groups of players and their families are working really hard to make it happen.
Buster, what about the Yankees and all this? How much they be feeling? I mean, they haven't played in a few days. They barely got their season started. They had the weekend, and that's been it. They're changing their travel schedule. I mean, how tough is that for them right now?
You know, it is certainly far less than ideal. You know, yesterday they were scheduled to go back to New York at 1 o'clock, and at 12:15 they got word that their games were canceled. Major League Baseball offered them a chance, said, look, if you want, and they were in Philadelphia, they were offered the chance to play a couple games at Baltimore.
Yep.
And the Yankee players, Zach Britton apparently has done an unbelievable job for the Yankees in terms of being a leader. You know, he's the player rep. He's a respected veteran. He's got a lot of experience. And so calls are going from Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman to Zach Britton. You know, what do you think? We could play in Baltimore. And they're like, yeah, we're in Philadelphia. We're right down the road. It makes a lot more sense to go play 2 games against the Orioles. Let's go. And I really, you know, that one of the challenges of this thing, and maybe a separator in the standings, is which teams can make, you know, lemonade out of lemons. And it absolutely feels like the Yankees are one of those teams where, you know, everything you see said, every response to every challenge, you know, in this unusual year, it's, hey, we got this. We're ready to go. And on the flip side, boy, you just see the reticence of the Washington Nationals, you know, and a lot of spoken concerns. And, boy, this, you know, I think Dave Martinez said yesterday, you hope somebody does the right thing. I don't know exactly what he meant. It sounded like he was suggesting, you know, shut it down. But I know the Yankees are on the other side, and you know, they go to Baltimore. And they're scheduled to play tonight, scheduled to play the next day, and I think their attitude is, whatever's coming our way for 66 days, we're going to do the best we can.
Buster, a team that's just lemons rather than making lemonade are the Red Sox. What do people say about them around baseball right now?
That they're shocked at how bad they are, and you know what's happened to them so quickly. You know, it's amazing because, you know, as they ramped up under Dave Dombrowski, and they spent the prospect resources to go get Chris Sale and to get Craig Kimbrell. You know, the goal internally in the organization was to win the World Series, and they did that. And now, boy, it just feels like there's such an enormous cost, especially among the pitching. You know, I spent some time talking to an evaluator today and asked him the question, you know, how long will it take the Red Sox to put together a pitching staff that could contend in the American League East? And there was a lot of silence.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it could be a while. When you look at the names they have, you know, Chris Sale, you know, had Tommy John surgery this year. He's obviously out all of this year. Their hope is they get him back sometime next year. Realistically, he's not going to be as big of a factor probably next year as they would love. Eduardo Rodriguez, his situation with, you know, his heart condition, who knows where that goes. You know, they just, at this point, are really paying the price for a lot of the strip mining of the farm system that was made in an effort to try to win. And you hope that everybody in the organization understands that that was a calculated decision, but they're paying for it.
Buster, this must be the Heim Bloom effect, because the platoons that the Red Sox are running are really interesting. I can't figure it out on either end, because Mitch Moreland only plays against righties and Chavis only plays against lefties. Moreland's got the hot hand. He sits. Chavis is the young guy we're supposed to be getting evaluating. He sits. I can't figure out what exactly the plan is here.
And that's why Ron Renicki was asked in a radio interview in Boston today, okay, who's making out the lineups? Look, you know, if you watch the Rays in recent years, under Heim Bloom, Eric Neander, that's the sort of thing that they would do on a daily basis. And I think it's easier to do, with younger players who aren't established. Just in watching, and I don't know how you guys felt about it, but just in watching the body language of guys like Xander Bogaerts and J.D. Martinez, et cetera, you wonder how it's going to go over the course of the whole season. And I do, you know, they're so bad early on, I actually think it probably is going to free them up to make some moves, you know, maybe to, you know, trade away a guy like Brandon Workman, trade a guy like Barnes if he has some value. And I even wonder, and this is total speculation on my part, now that you have a universal DH in the National League, I wonder if J.D. Martinez, if you're sitting in the front office of the Boston Red Sox and you know that, you know, you're probably going to be a couple years away from turning it around at the same time that J.D.'s contract's going to expire, I certainly would be out there, you know, kind of poking around and seeing if there's some team that would be willing to take on a lot of the money. I can't imagine you find any team that would be willing to take on the whole contract. But you do wonder if the fact that they look so bad early is going to make them more aggressive as we go along.
Buster, you mentioned Bogaerts, Xander Bogaerts being so disgruntled, and at the time he did it, they were 1-3. I mean, it's awfully early. I know it's a short season, but four games in, and he's already calling out the pitching staff. I mean, what is your reaction to him doing that?
It was a surprise on one hand, but if you see the body language, if you see, you know, the fact that every night it seems like they're down by 20 runs before they come to the plate, I'm not surprised. The only thing is, and Xander is a great guy, and he's uniformly positive, you know, for the most part, and he's always, you know, a guy walks in with a smile on his face. But I think my question would be, and I'm guessing Ron Renicki or Heim Bloom might talk to him today, like, you know, Xander, that's good that you're I'm going to mention the lack of pitching that we have here, but here's the deal. Like, these are the guys we got.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to change. I remember when Lou Piniella was the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, Devil Rays, he would, if one of the Rays pitchers was getting, this is when the Rays were really bad, and there would be night after night to be watching, and these guys who really were AAA pitchers were getting absolutely destroyed, and he'd be raging in the dugout, and I remember thinking, how does that help anybody?
Hmm.
Like,
yeah.
For someone to be that angry, you know?
Hmm.
And how does it help the pitcher? And I got to believe that, you know, Xander, who's such a good person, upon reflection, probably would have handled it differently.
Buster Olney of ESPN. Buster, I'll get you out of here on two quick ones. This is a fun one. We're going to cause you to make a prediction here. My dad's a White Sox fan. I'm a Mariners fan. Rich is a Red Sox fan. We're all 1-4. Who ends up with the most wins at the end of the season between our three teams?
Oh, boy. Gosh.
That's how bad they are. He can't even come up with an answer.
No, I have a definite here.
Yeah. White Sox.
Yeah. That's the one.
It better be the White Sox. They spent all that money. But, God, our teams are unwatchable right now, Buster.
They are really unwatchable. That's why the other day someone tweeted at me who was an Astros fan, said Astros are the best team in baseball. And it was after two games against the Mariners, and that's what my response was. Really? You're going to base that on two games against the worst team in baseball?
Exactly. Buster, I'll get you out of here on this. The debate is raging on our Facebook page. Do you call it miniature golf or putt-putt?
Miniature golf.
Thank you.
By the way, I've never played because we were the most boring family in the history of the world. We never left Randolph Center. To this date, I've never played miniature golf.
Wow. Have you played regular golf?
Yes. And I stopped in 1997 because I do not have the temperament for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Buster, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.